Good Friday morning and welcome to the Politics Program with WTOP's Mark Plotkin. For the full hour this week, Prince George's County Executive Rashern Baker is our guest. We'll be taking your phone calls at 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. Questions can be sent in as well through WTOP's Facebook page and via Twitter. Use hashtag Politics Program. Now, WTOP's Mark Plotkin.
We're very glad to have the county executive who is here. And I must say, I was thinking of an elegant segue into commenting about the Johnson sentencing. Your predecessor never came here. I don't know why, but he was repeatedly asked, but you are not your predecessor in many, many ways. But seriously, I read in a year-end review article in the Post about you saying that 90% of your job, first of all, are you sleeping better? You were troubled by insomnia in the early part. How are you sleeping these days?
Well, first of all, let me just say this. I can't imagine anyone not wanting to come on your show, Mark.
Sure.
Who would pass up this great opportunity? And yes, I am sleeping better. I've been amazed at how many people ask me that. But yes, I'm sleeping better, and I feel better about the job.
All right. You said 90% is selling the county. The county suffered a great image problem with not just one, but two elected officials. Right. The county executive who had formerly been the chief law enforcement officer, the state's attorney. So how do you get over that hump, and how do you explain to people this is a different place?
Well, you know, as I said in the before, is that during the beginning of the administration, we didn't know how we were going to do it other than just go out there and tell people we're different and then show them we're different. One, by immediately putting in legislation in Annapolis that dealt with ethics reform, immediately trying to address some of the issues around the finances of the county just to show that we're serious about being open for business. But I think what happens is you look at us a year later, we pass our economic development incentive fund, $50 million. I've gone to countless businesses and convinced them that this is a different culture in Prince George's County. I've also said that, and from the very beginning, that the men and women who work for Prince George's County every day have done a terrific job, and they did a terrific job during the past 8 years of the former administration, and they're doing a great job now. And that's the face that we want people to see. And so I think we've done a good job of doing that in this past year.
In terms of appointments, I asked you this before. I'll ask you again. Are there any people who Jack Johnson appointed who are still, and maybe they're able, maybe they're capable, maybe they aren't in any way tainted, who serve in your administration?
Well, one of the things we did going in from the very beginning of the administration is that we decided that anyone in a decision-making position that we thought, had anything that may come out in the preceding year, that we would let go. And we did that. That's why we basically started the government from scratch. It's one of the reasons we brought in some really smart, talented people who had worked in the prior administration, most of which were in the Curry administration or the Glendening administration.
And we're back on the Politics Program with WTOP's Mark Plotkin and our guest in the studio this week, Prince George's County Executive Rashern Baker, with us for the full hour. We'll be getting to some of your phone calls a bit later. If you have a question for the county executive, 877-336-1035 is the number to call. 877-336-1035.
Mr. County Executive, you pride yourself on being a consensus builder. Now, you have an advantage. Every member of the county council is a Democrat, so that helps. But I thought I'd take this opportunity to really seriously ask you, how do you view, as a former legislator, mm-hmm. as somebody that has to now deal with legislators as an executive, the dysfunction of the United States Congress in terms of reaching solutions, going to the end before mm-hmm. something is decided upon, and just the contentious nature where we actually would almost have the third shutdown in 1 year. Right. What are your views, and how do you ameliorate those conditions?
Well, you know, I view it as deplorable, you know, and it the impact it has at the federal level on what happens to us in Prince George's County.
Tell us specifically.
Tremendous. Well, one, a number of our workers, are federal workers, and a number of our grants, you know, when we looked at this, we thought, okay, yes, this has an impact. The federal shutdown has an impact on the federal workforce that we have in Prince George's County. But the other impact was on our social services. Many of our family services, social services, those are grants that are federal grants. Those employees are federal employees. So what goes on Capitol Hill will affect the way we can deliver quality service to people in Prince George's County. And so we've made it very clear to our congressional delegation that this is unacceptable. But we took a step further, at least I did, as a member of the County Executives of America. We actually sent a statement to not only to Congress, but to our other members who happen to be from the Republican Party and said, you know, this is hurting everybody. So you need to let your representatives know that.
I'm so glad we mentioned the congressional delegation. There's a primary for one of the seats that a good portion is Prince George's County between your old friend Glenn Ivey and Donna Edwards. Refresh my memory. Are you endorsing in that primary?
I don't believe I've made a statement on that.
Well, why don't you make it right now?
You know, right now what I'm focusing on is one getting past
the hogwash. I hate that. What you're focusing on. Yes or no, are you going to make an endorsement in that race? Your old friend Glenn Ivey, you're going to turn your back on him and not help him out? Stop laughing and tell me, Mr. County Executive, what you're going to do. Maybe constituents who like you, and there seem to be some, you got elected, you need guidance. Are you going to stay out of this?
Well, what I'm going to do, is, as you know, Mark, during these times, the focus of the county is, one, getting through and preparing for the upcoming session in Annapolis. That's going to be my main focus.
Well, that ends in March.
That ends in March. And the other thing is you just mentioned about the federal level. I mean, I've got to make sure that whatever is going on Capitol Hill that we pay attention to. So for right now, that's going to be my focus.
For right now. But by the end, by Election Day, will the residents who want to know who Rashearn Baker supports, will they be able to know before the primary day?
I tell you what, you know, when I make my decision on that, I'll come back on this show.
Oh, did you hear that, Scott Peterson? All right. Tell me, our excellent sprawl and crawl, why are you laughing, Mark Lewis? Our excellent reporter, or mediocre reporter, excellent reporter, Adam Tuss, and I read his stuff verbatim. Today we featured a number of stories about development around metro stations.
Yes.
And there's something you've been focusing on. Now there's an agreement in place between Metro and GSA to examine the possibility of moving federal agencies near metro stations. Do you want to see a federal agency move close to one of the metro stations in Prince George's? And let's be specific, what about that monstrosity of an architectural monstrosity, the FBI building on Pennsylvania Avenue? Are you going to actively seek to have that building torn down and moved to Prince George's County? Let's make some news on this program.
Well, I have nothing to do with the tearing down of buildings, but certainly we would love to have the FBI come out to Prince George's County. I think it's a perfect place.
Why?
Well, one, because I think we're the perfect location for the next federal lease space. You know, Prince George's County has many, as the article said today, talked about undeveloped and underdeveloped metro sites.
Well, suggest two or three of the metro sites you think would be desirable.
I think if you look at Branch Avenue, that's a perfect place with Joint Base Andrews there. If you look at Largo Morgan Boulevard, another great site, New Carrollton, Greenbelt. I mean, we've got some really good sites out in Prince George's County that, one, have the land capacity that they're looking for, and two, give the ability right on the green line or the orange line and have the ability to get to other federal agencies.
If you wouldn't get the FBI, who else would be desirable?
Well, one, I think we should get the FBI. I think they should stop looking. They should only look in Prince George's County. Clearly, you know, if Homeland Security decides that it's going to expand, I know that was taken off the table, but if that comes back on the table, I think Prince George's County should be the place. The southern part of our county, whether it's Naylor Road or Suitland area, but Naylor Road, even in National Harbor, if you look at the expansion of Homeland Security, it's close enough to a metro site right near where the district is doing its development. with Homeland Security, I think it would be great.
Here's another transportation question from Adam Tuss, our sprawl and crawl average reporter. What are your early impressions of the Inter-County Connector? Have you had a chance to take it?
I did. I did take it when it first opened. I must admit, though, I took it when nobody else was was driving on it, so it was great that day. I think it's going to be a tremendous opportunity for Prince George's County to grow in terms of jobs and residents. We've got a big development that's happening right as it lets out in Prince George's County. That's Conterra. We just put last year $26 million into that project. So I think this is going to be a great economic boon for us and help us, quite honestly. You know, I said this when I was over in India on the trade mission, that if you want to locate in Prince George's County, we can get you to the 270 corridor in Montgomery County, but also to BWI and Dulles. And
what about the tolls? Talking about going to $3.20, doesn't that deter use? And can you do anything about the tolls?
Well, one, I can't do anything about the tolls other than, you know, voice an opinion. But I think people are willing to pay to get to back and forth quicker. So.
Let's go to Dimensions Hospital.
Yes.
Which I was at the announcement of $600 million going to be spent, supposedly with great fanfare. Now it seems to be clouded because it's there's a residue from the Jack Johnson investigation. The role of Ken Glover, the president, who is on paid leave. We're going to let you ponder and think and formulate your answer and go in depth to that whole subject matter.
We're back on the politics program with WTOP's Mark Plotkin and our guest in the studio, Rashurin Baker, Prince George's County Executive. He's with us for the full hour. We'll be getting to some of your phone calls shortly. 877-336-1035 is the number to call in. 877-336-1035. You can submit questions through our Facebook page. Also, via Twitter, use the hashtag PoliticsProgram. Once again, here's Mark Plotkin.
Let's go in depth with the whole hospital deal. Stephen Sachs has just been appointed a very prominent attorney, former attorney general, to investigate what was going on. Jack Johnson, who was about to go to jail for 7 years, was heard on tapes saying that he had secured a contract with the hospital. Ken Glover is on paid leave, the president of the hospital. Let's take it one at a time. What is the future of the hospital with this cloud hanging over it? And second, should Ken Glover be, there is a presumption of innocence, but should he be on paid leave?
Well, let me go with the first thing. I don't think there's a cloud over the hospital deal that we crafted, which took us 8 months in the new administration, because it's not just a hospital, it's a regional healthcare facility. And yes, we're going into Annapolis and asking the state to help with this $600 million regional healthcare facility. One of the things we want to make sure of, from our administration, we immediately took action once we saw the sentencing document, and just said we don't want to take any chances. We want to make sure that if anybody has done anything wrong, that we go through all of the steps. So immediately from our standpoint, the administration took steps. The board—
Well, you took a specific step about Xavier Capital Management.
That's right.
Explain what you did and why you took the action against them.
Well, we took the action against the management investment company when we found from the sentencing document that on the tapes there's this allegation that the former county executive gave them more money with the thought that he would get a return once he left office. So we immediately cut that contract with that investment firm because the deal to our standpoint was tainted, and we're not going to accept that. With Dimensions, going back to them, the board of directors of Dimensions, with our support.
How many members on the board?
I'm not sure exactly how many members.
Any members? Who are the members you appointed?
Our member on the board is Brad Seaman, who is the acting CAO for the county. He's been the our appointment from the very beginning. He's
also Judge Nichols is the chair.
Judge Nichols is the chair, great guy, good friend, smart. I think that was a smart move, and quite honestly, by Delegate Barbara Frush, who I don't know if she's clairvoyant or something, foresaw that we're going to need someone of Judge Nichols' temperament and judgment to
be in charge. Now, what about Mr. Glover, who seems to be at the center of the controversy? He denies, he says that any recommendation he had about Johnson's employment would have to be approved by the board. It never, quote, matured, sort of an elegant way of describing this. What about his credibility?
Well, I think that's why we have the investigator coming in. That's why we have Steve Sachs, who I think is a great appointment to do this, coming in, investigating what's going on so that we make sure that everything is above board there. I think the Board of Dimensions made the right decision. I fully support it. Our administration was behind them 100%. And this is the way to go about it, to make sure that we cover everything.
Not to keep on bringing things up, but it's
isn't
part
that
of the
job?
News. Yeah, Tiffany Alston, the delegate, a second indictment having to do with using state funds to pay an employee at her law firm. That's the allegation. She was previously indicted for misusing campaign funds to cover wedding expenses. Have you talked to Delegate Alston? What's your comment on this latest blow to the image of Prince George's in terms of a legislator?
Well, one, I have not talked to Delegate Alston in a while. I mean, she did come to one of the briefings that we did in upcoming session. Two, just like with everything else, I think, you know, under no circumstances do we want anything, any inference of impropriety, whether in Prince George's County or the state legislature. So they're doing exactly what they should do in the state, and that is they're following this investigation. I'll let the judicial proceedings take place. The other thing is it's not a taint on Prince George's County. You know, we've seen it over this past year that I've been in office. The men and women of Prince George's County continue to do great things and continue to move forward. We wouldn't have gotten a hospital deal with UMS and the state if they did not believe fully that Prince George's County could deliver. We wouldn't keep our AAA bond rating. We wouldn't make the progress. So the image of the county is what it should be, and that is a vibrant, thriving economic engine of the state.
In that year-end Post article, they talked about in your desire to show your constituents that you are aware of their fiscal circumstances. You make $174,539.
You realize my wife is in the studio
yes.
with us, right?
And well, it's a matter of public information. And you were supposed to get a 3.4 raise, so you would make $180,473. In this article, it said that you're going to turn back the raise or donate it to a nonprofit. Have
right.
you decided? Why don't you tell our listeners what you've decided to do?
Well, I think what we're going to do is donate to a nonprofit. And because right now in Prince George's County,
And how do you determine which nonprofit?
Well, I think we look at the ones, they're clearly...
one in mind?
They're clearly, for me, we gave money from the inaugural to the Literacy Foundation and Reading. Educational foundations are things that especially those that help people struggling with reading as someone who struggled with that.
Do you think the council members should do the same as you're doing?
Well, I think each individual has to follow their own conscience, and I think that's the way to do it.
Friday morning means the politics program with WTOP's Mark Plotkin. Our guest for the full hour this week is Prince George's County Executive Rashern Baker. We'll be getting to some of your phone calls here shortly at 877-336-1035. If you're on the line, please be patient. We'll get to you. 877-336-1035. You can send in a tweet. Use the hashtag politics program. Once again, here's Mark Plotkin.
Mr. County Executive, you skillfully avoided answering the question, Ken Glover, should he be on paid leave or should he just go off the board?
Well, I think the board made the best decision given all the facts that they have. There are 11 board members. Our board member, Bradford Seaman, supported that decision. So I think it's the best right now given we're going to give the time to have Steve Sachs do the investigation.
Let me go back to the possible more problems with just the functioning of government. I once heard a congressman say, if you really want to improve Congress, and this goes to your former role as a delegate, and I wonder if you've given it any thought, change redistricting. Provide competitive districts so that people don't appeal to the extremes. And the people that should not be doing redistricting are state legislatures. They should be independent entities. What are your thoughts on that as a former legislator? And do you feel that it would have, this was Charlie Stenholm of Texas saying, if you could do one thing, that would be it. Would that help the political temper of the country by virtue of legislators not drawing districts? Thus, there would be more competitive districts. Thus, people would appeal to the center rather than to extremes.
Well, I think in Maryland's a unique case. I don't think in Maryland it makes a difference. I think the way that we've done redistricting in Maryland has played out quite well. And not just because we're a majority Democrat, but I think it's balanced more because our issues in the state legislature tend to be around region than they do around parties. But clearly throughout the country, I think some more, I think there's a point there. We see some of the divisions, let's say from, you know, New York or Massachusetts, where our family's originally from, you know, you don't have the liberal Republicans that they had when Ed Brooks was the senator from Massachusetts or New York. So I think in those areas, I think you really do need to take a serious look at it.
We're going to go to the calls. One question. Prince George's County Police, you have a salary dispute. They've called for arbitration. Where are you on that?
Well, we're working with that. We've got our folks from our side that are working with the lawyers from the FOP, and we're going to be fine.
What do you mean you're going to be fine?
Well, I mean, we'll eventually work out an agreement with them and move ahead.
All right, let's take some calls.
Malcolm has been holding on from Accokeek. Malcolm, go ahead. You're on WTOP.
Good morning, gentlemen. My question is in reference to the National Harbor, you know, the flagship of our county, and the possibility of increased transit options that would bring more potential tenants on board. I think we're in a fabulous location, and I think if we had more transit options, it would be great. County Exec, what's your ideas on that?
You're absolutely right. One of the things that we want to start working on right now is a metro line that goes across the Woodrow Wilson Bridge into Alexandria. I think that would, and, you know, the extension to the southern part of Prince George's County and Maryland, which is in Charles County. So we're looking at various options. That's one. The other is rapid transit and looking at bus transit to National Harbor and out. With the bringing of the outlet mall here, the upscale outlet mall that's coming to National Harbor, we also want to make sure that we provide the type of transportation and transit options there. So we are looking at that. But like everything else, it costs money. And so we've got to look at some revenue streams that will help us make that come to life.
Avis is calling in from Temple Hills this morning. Avis, go ahead. You're on the politics program.
Yes, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I just had a specific question. I've been living in the Branch Avenue, Temple Hills Road area for over 25 years, and I have not seen any type of improvement there. And I know we have good quality area that could sustain a lot of businesses. And I was just wondering, what is your plans for it?
The county executive is going to contemplate that very probing and insightful question, and we'll get back with his answer.
You're listening to the Politics Program with WTOP's Mark Plotkin. Our guest is Prince George's County Executive Rashurin Baker. Taking more of your phone calls as we continue our discussion at 877-336-1035. 877-336-1035. Gentlemen, when we pause for a traffic and weather together, we had Avis's question about more development along Branch Avenue.
Right. Branch Avenue, the interchange there is on the priority list in terms of funding for Prince George's County, because that's one of our areas we're going to focus on development. So we are going to bring more resources to that area. We're also going to make sure that our transportation and public works department looks at what's going on in the roads connected to Branch Avenue.
Are you for an increase in the state gas tax?
I am.
And why?
Well, because we need the resources to do these infrastructure projects. And clearly at the county level, we can't raise the revenue. And I've said I've been very clear to the state that I would support revenue enhancements where I thought they were helpful to us. And clearly, we're going to do a lot of development, and we need transportation dollars.
I understand that you talk to Ken Ullman, the Howard County executive.
Yes, great guy.
Often writes personal handwritten notes for being on the show. Not that you have to do that, but just it's a nice touch. And he's a possible gubernatorial candidate in 2014, along with Peter Francho and the ever self-effacing Doug Gansler. And have I left somebody out?
Are you Lieutenant Governor?
Lieutenant Governor, who happens to live in your county, Anthony
right.
Brown. Thank you. Are you going to make an endorsement in that race?
You know, it's way too early to
figure
out what you're going
to
do.
If the election were held today, who would you vote for?
It's way too early to come on, Mark. Now, you know, but I will say this. We've got some really talented people that are looking for that, looking to run for governor. I've just gotten to know Ken Ullman since I've been county executive. Bright, smart, young guy.
Writes thank you notes.
Yeah,
personal
writes,
thank you notes.
Yeah, he
handwritten
does.
Handwritten personal thank you notes.
He does.
let me move to, I don't want to neglect the fire department. You have a controversy between the volunteer fire people and the career firefighters. Where does that stand?
We're working through that. I mean, one of the things that I said coming into office is that we'd look at each and every department and we'd make the best decisions for the long run. For the long run of Prince George's County. And part of that is looking at the overall structure of the fire department as well as the police department. There's clearly some changes, not with the volunteer firefighters. They are great. They do a great job. We need them. I support them. But I want to make sure that if we're using county dollars, that we're using those county dollars to the maximum. And I think that's where we're in discussions.
Back to the phones we go. Gary is calling in from Seat Pleasant. Gary, go ahead. You're on the politics program.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Mr. Baker, are you for or against the slots at Rosecroft?
It's a good question. I have not taken a position on where slots would come in or whether we're in favor or against them. What I've said is that I'm open to the discussion in Annapolis. Once again, this revolves around revenue enhancements. Clearly, I'm going to ask for a lot of money in Annapolis, and I want to make sure that we put all options on the table as to how we get those revenues.
How did you vote on the referendum when it was on the ballot about slots?
You know what? That I know it's interesting. I can't remember how I voted. I don't think I voted for the referendum.
Okay.
I think at the time I was in the legislature, coming out of legislature. You know, I didn't vote for slots.
Why are you undecided, or why have you not taken a position on this very important issue to many people?
Well, there's a difference. I'm not undecided, and I have taken a position, and that is I'm going to look at the best option for Prince George's County. This is one of the ways that the state is going to look at for increasing revenues. We already have, let's be very clear.
Is Rosecroft the wrong place to put the slots? Is that what you're saying?
No. I have not said it, whether it's the right place or the wrong place. What I've said is we've got to look at what's in the best interest of the county. And if we're going to bring slots or gaming into Prince George's County, the thing that I have to determine is what are the benefits for Prince George's County? What are the cons in terms of the county?
Maybe I'm missing something. Do you want slots in Prince George's County?
I want revenues in Prince George's County.
Well, do you want slots will provide revenue?
We don't know what the outcome for Prince George's County is. What is the take on slots if they come to Prince George's County? What will we benefit from, and how does that oppose to the
So you're not unalterably opposed?
No. No, I'm open, as I said before, I'm open to the idea of discussing slots along with any other revenue enhancement.
You don't think your cut, your take, would be high enough?
I don't know what it is.
Well, who determines that?
The state legislature. So once they get into Annapolis and we hash out this, then that's when we'll make a determination.
Continuing with callers, Heather is calling in from Chevrolet. Heather, you're next. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Baker.
Good morning. Hi, Chevrolet.
Hello, neighbor. You are on record no less than four times promising to improve the pretty dismal kill rate at the county shelter, the animal shelter, yet as far as I know, you've done absolutely nothing on that front. I'm trying to find out why.
Well, we've That's a great thing about this job.
I admire the caller's candor.
Yes, well, Chevrolet, we tend to do that. We are looking at what's going on at the shelter in Prince George's County, and no less than our CEO has been working on that, and Sam Weinkoop, our director of DER, has done a great job in making sure that Prince George's County is up to speed. So we are working on the issue. It's right in front of us.
We're going to go into schools, which you think is so important for
it's
the image
important.
Of Prince George's County and what you're doing and what you're not doing.
We're back for the final minutes of the politics program on WTOP with Mark Plotkin and Prince George's County Executive Rashern Baker. More of your phone calls to come as well. I see the phone lines are lit up at 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035.
Mr. County Executive, you're a magnet for interest. schools, yes. You were supposed to appoint a liaison in
yes.
your office. Have you done so?
Yes, we've already selected a liaison.
Who
we'll announce.
That?
We'll announce.
Why don't you announce
it
right now?
We'll announce it in January.
Is the elected school board upset with this?
No. We've worked throughout the year with the elected school board and the superintendent. This is to enhance what they're doing. And
how
make
about people
sure
would say it's duplicative? It's a pawn of Baker.
no one ever uses the word pawn of Baker.
All right. Why do you need this position?
Because I want to make sure at the county executive level that we focus like a laser beam on our education K-12 system, and that we provide the type of support that we should, and that I'm up to speed on everything that's going on, well, and we look at best practices.
Brief, I'll try to be foreclosures. Prince George's County leads the state right. in foreclosures. What are you doing as county executive?
We're working hand in hand with the state Department of Housing and Community Development, also with our federal partners and with our banking.
A little more specific.
Well, our new director of Housing and Community Development, Eric Brown, has been in working with the state on how we can actually help. We've held foreclosure workshops throughout Prince George's County. We've also worked with the faith community to make sure that people who are about to lose their
Mr.
homes.
Mr. County Executive, if somebody is on the verge of being foreclosed, what should they do
in terms of the
government?
They can call our Department of Housing and Community Development, and they will be able to assist them. If you're 30 days behind in your mortgage, if you call us, we can get you help.
Back to the phones we're going. Mm-hmm. Dee is calling in from Capitol Heights. Dee, go ahead. You're on the politics program.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Good morning.
I have a question about transportation. I live between Pennsylvania Avenue and Richie Marlborough Road, and we have no public transportation. There's no metro. There's no the bus. And the bus is right around the corner off of Sansbury Road. And I wrote a letter, and they said it would be 4 years before we could get public transportation. So I was wondering what other means that we could do about it in our community.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're taking my staff is taking notes right now on that area, and we will talk to our transportation department and see what is going on in that case and check it out. I know one of the things that we're looking for when we go to Annapolis is more resources for the bus. And we're also working with our Metro representative to see if we can expand Metro access to parts of Prince George's County that there's not greater frequency of a Metro bus. But we'll look at that issue.
Continuing with the phone calls, Dan is holding on from Temple Hills. Dan, go ahead. You're on the politics program.
Yes, my question is for Mr. Baker. Considering the development going on down at National Harbor, what was the real reason why Disney pulled out of that development? And do you feel it had anything to do with the fallout of Jack Johnson?
Our indication, it did not have anything to do with the former county executive, Jack Johnson. It had everything to do with the fact that Disney, and they did call us and say, we're going to redirect our resources to places where, we can get the best bang for our buck. Quite honestly, it was mentioned to us that, you know, Disney is putting a lot of dollars in China. And so we just got caught up in the economic times.
I'm a big believer. Tip O'Neill was misquoted. His son Kip told me. He said all politics is local is what he is attributed to have said. Right. He really said all politics is personal. And so I'm asking you this question having to do with that. When you got a decision like that, did you call Robert Iger, who is the CEO of Disney in California, and deal with him? And I ask the same questions to governors and to mayors. What is the level of personal involvement when something like this happens? And in terms of your salesmanship, what do you actually do? Or do you staff it out? Or do you not comment on it? What happened? I'm trying to get into your mind and also into what you actually did when you heard this bad news.
Well, when we heard the news about Disney, that's a conversation to have directly with National Harbor. Because right there, the biggest concern that we have, or I have as county executive, is what other entertainment values are we going to have at National Harbor, because it's such an attraction. So that's a personal call from me to both Milt Peterson and the folks there.
The developer.
The developer on, okay, what are the next
steps?
But
what about the CEO of Disney who actually made the decision? Why didn't Rashearn Baker, who is an amiable, charming guy, pick up the phone, and he would have taken your call? I mean, I wonder what public servants do to act and to deal with the decision makers when something comes down that is negative to your county.
Well, first of all, if I had been asked by the Peterson to call Disney directly,
why would you have to be asked?
Well, one, because it's a development project in National Harbor. It is not like Prince George's County is going out grabbing Disney to come in. National Harbor brought them in as part of an overall development.
Did Peterson ask you?
What they said to me? No, they did not. Because they said, Well, I think in this case, Disney had already made a decision on where they were redirecting the dollars. It had nothing to do with National Harbor or anything to do with Prince George's County. Clearly, National Harbor is doing a great job.
All right. Thank you, Mr. County Executive. Hope you'll come back soon.
I will.
And I'm going to ask Glenn Ivey about your lack of support when I get off the phone.